Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tausch?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
No Packers game, so no positives and negatives edition. The does old T owe the Minnesota Vikings an apology edition. They haven't made the playoffs in 14 years. I'm only responsible for one of those years. Edition. Oh, buddy. What are we doing? Edition of Wilde and Tausch.
He's a complicated fella.
On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson, DJ Jazzy Jelly, ready to spin the Christmas tunes, I'm being told. It's only December 9th. It's all right. He's in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And a cup of Karuba coffee from Quick Trip from his undisclosed location. He is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
Oh, Jason, I'm doing okay.
What? Just okay. Why so glum,
okay,
chum?
Yeah. I'm tired. A long weekend. I'm
what?
Just a little tired, but I'll...
Tired? Yeah.
This was your... This was your least working weekend in like 4 months.
Fair point.
That's the ironic part about it. I'll be cranked up. I'll be ready to go, but I did
not
watch
cranky.
A ton of football yesterday. No, definitely not cranky.
Okay, good.
I didn't watch a ton of football. I did see that Rodgers quote, and then obviously Jesse, or you bringing up the Minnesota Vikings, the fallout from that Lions game. Yet there's a lot of stuff. I think the college football playoff actually got it right. So, in the grand scheme of things, no, I do. In the grand scheme of things, there's not a lot for me to be super irritated about on a nice Monday morning. So I'm
going to need
you
guys
to irritate me because... What's that?
Is the show better when you are irritated?
It all depends who you ask. I will say this.
Sometimes.
I had a very nice compliment last night at a little neighborhood Christmas party.
Okay.
They said, I loved you interviewing yourself. And I said, well, that's interesting. I'm always looking for positive and negative feedback. I said that's you're probably in the minority as the person that said that, but I took that with a grain of positivity. So that was kind of I thought that was a nice way to finish off my weekend last night.
Sun Prairie neighbor Joe with positive feedback for old T. By the way, I don't, apparently, maybe you don't feel this, but I like it too. I think it's I think it's important not to overdo it. But I think in the
about? Having the Badgers radio network analyst join the show.
Oh, okay.
Is that not what we were just discussing?
I thought you maybe meant me being ornery or being fired up about something. I didn't know which way you were.
I mean, I guess we could do every Monday morning to start the week. Tausch could just interview himself and how was your weekend? I'm a little, you know, grumpy. Tough.
What am I, Brett Favre? I can't pull that off.
Tausch's weekend review with Tausch might not be the worst thing we could do.
Well, I'm glad that your neighbor liked that because we won't be hearing from the color analyst for the Badgers radio network for a while because there are no more games.
Big news, though. New OC.
You know what's fun? I saw Michigan is playing Alabama in the ReliaQuest Bowl.
Yeah, I saw that.
We were just at the ReliaQuest Bowl.
It's a great bowl.
Fantastic bowl. They're going to have a hell of a time down there. I promise you that. Really nice little bowl they put together down there,
and almost as good as the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
It was Tampa or wherever it was. Yeah, yep.
You enjoyed it so much you don't remember where it was.
No, I don't even remember. I'm pretty sure it was Tampa, right?
Yes.
Yes.
It's what it used Tampa. To be the Outback Bowl is now the ReliaQuest.
Yeah,
Bowl.
It's the old Tampa. Yeah.
Sure. The old Tampa. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not the Champs Bowl though. Or is that the same thing? Because they played all those bowl games down there.
I think the Champs Bowl became the
Outback Bowl. Vice versa. It used to be the Hall of Fame Bowl.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was. The Hall of Fame Bowl.
Yeah.
So the real question is, now we don't have, we had kind of had to allocate time off. Yeah, definitely. But right when you mentioned Citrus Bowl or whatever, I'm like, all right, I'm done.
Since Jason's time to shine, bowl season.
Love bowl season. Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, he is a big bowl guy. Boca Raton. Boca Raton Bowl I'm on board with because it's a GKB bowl.
James Madison, closest thing Madison has to a bowl appearance this year. Am I right?
It's not
so
bad.
I'm debating. I have not asked for time off. I think I'm going to take a trip over the holidays.
I'm sorry, I didn't know you asked for time off.
Well, I'll let Jesse know. There we go. I'm debating what would be a good spot, non-football related.
Come
Do we
on.
Have any good spots? I want people to, I don't know where I want to go. Where as a family, because there's a lot of time off, and there's actually no hockey. So now that the ReliaQuest Bowl is not in play or the Boca Raton Bowl, got to find somewhere, I think, fun and warm to go because it's been a chilly winter. And I don't love the fact – I guess I will have a little rant. I don't love the fact Thanksgiving is so late because Christmas will be here. What is that? Oh, Las Vegas Bowl. That's an option. Maybe go out to Vegas for something. I don't love the fact that Christmas is going to be here like that. I mean, I don't know why one year it's all messed up. I think Thanksgiving needs to be the last Thursday in November. That's what I think.
Thanksgiving was the last Thursday in November.
Yeah, but I'm
it's
saying
always the fourth
sometimes it's the 22nd.
Thursday.
Sometimes I don't think it always is the – is it always the last Thursday in November?
No. I think it's the fourth Thursday in November, and in many cases, that is the last Thursday of November because it's a 30-day month, but this year was weird.
I'm sorry?
This has been a weird year.
The earliest it can be is November 22nd. I believe the latest it can be is November 28th. So I think that's how the Thursday thing works. So, if I may, I have the place for you. Now, granted, it won't be on the University of Wisconsin's dime if you were the basketball analyst and had gone there a few weeks ago. But don't you need to go to the Greenbrier? You've always wanted to see it.
I have.
Well, what's the temperature? How warm do you need it?
I told you, I don't look at temperatures before I go on trips. That's not what I do.
So you're just assuming
I have a general idea. I know Florida will be warm-ish. I don't think West Virginia is going to be that same temp. Like, I just don't think that's going to be the case.
Okay, I'm just trying to help. I feel like that was a place that was on your bucket list. Yeah, this morning It is 49 degrees there right now. It's going to get up to a high of 53.
Yeah, 53. Oh, it was 55 here yesterday. All right, I think I'm done with this part of it. Let's get into Jesse's question, if I owe the Minnesota Vikings an apology.
Well, let's not get into that now at 9:10. Let's talk about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and then get into it next. What do you... Before you start, I would just like to ask, is this what we're going to do all show? Is it going to be the... All right, it's the... Okay, or whatever it is that I allegedly say. Yep, or yep, mip,
yeah,
mip.
No, you go, meow, meow,
yeah,
meow.
Who's the uncle with the cart rolling down the hill? Time to
Morty.
Move on.
It's Norb.
Yeah, Uncle Norb.
Norb. Uncle Norb.
The Uncle Norb edition today. Yeah.
All right, so Tausch is done with that.
Uncle Norb edition is, all right, boys, let's move on. Yeah,
which sounds like a lot of
money. Make sure your home remains comfortable before you reach the brutal post-holiday winter. And it's going to be cold again at the end of this week. It was beautiful yesterday. And you know who's beautiful? Santa Claus. That son of a gun, he's magical. But you know who's not? His elves. They're not even qualified to build Pella windows and doors. There's just too many options and too many customizations for those little guys. So instead of going through the big red fella, take advantage of this Pella deal. Get as low as $19 per window and $81 per patio door per month. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends on New Year's Eve. Visit PellaWI.com to learn more.
Does Tausch owe Kevin O'Connell, Sam Darnold, Justin Jefferson, Brian Flores an apology? Jesse thinks he does. Me? I'll tell you what I think after we find out what Tausch thinks. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Baby Jesus.
Well, I mean, it's already Christmas, so Jesse started playing. It's Christmas in a week.
I mean, let's be honest. He had a short window because Thanksgiving was as late as it can be.
Well, it is still 2.5 weeks to Christmas, for the record. It is not a week.
Closer. Jesse, it seems closer. I think this whole year got thrown off by October. October was a six-month month.
It's a slog.
And then November was like a, and now December is like a, but October, woo.
Locktober. That was fun.
Was that when we won some games? I think we won some games.
Braden Locke was good in October. It was Locktober.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't get that reference. All right, let's get to it. Jesse, state your business, state your case, because you're the one who said this. I don't agree with you. I do think that Tausch has underestimated the Minnesota Vikings. I don't think he owes them an apology yet. He might on December 30th if the Packers go to U.S. Bank Stadium, get beat by them, and then get swept by the Lions and the Vikings in the same season. But Tausch, here is Jesse's argument to you. Let's hear it.
The Minnesota Vikings are 11-2, two full games up on the Packers. Plus, they came to Lambeau in September and were up 28-0, I think it was, in the first half on the Packers. They are 11-2. They just beat the Falcons yesterday in Kirk Cousins' return revenge game. I know the Falcons are struggling, but the Vikings look good. They hung 42 on Atlanta yesterday. They are rolling, and they are a lot closer to surpassing Detroit to getting the number one seed in the NFC playoffs than they are to falling behind the Green Bay Packers and being below us in the wild card standings. So I think you owe Minnesota an apology. They are legit Super Bowl contenders. Their offense is running on all cylinders. Sam Darnold looks the real deal. He's the part. When he's got a solid offensive-minded head coach like Kevin O'Connell in place there, he's put him in a position to succeed, just like Matt LaFleur puts Jordan Love in a position to succeed in Green Bay. I think you owe Minnesota an apology.
Who's the better team right now, Minnesota or Green Bay?
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
You guys both agree?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Okay. I disagree. And I know my – it's not going to be the same as the college football playoff where I'm battling.
It kind of is, Saban.
No, it's not, though. I give Minnesota credit. They are better than I thought they were going to be. I still think there's going to be an eeriness about what we see on the 29th of December. Now, the only issue I have, Green Bay may have played themselves out of catching Minnesota, and then you always worry about where Detroit and where how this all shakes itself out from a motivation standpoint. Because yes, guys are pros, but pros also, you know, I've said you only have so much emotional reserve.
Uh-huh.
How much emotional reserve are you going to put in if you can't catch Minnesota or if you can't get anywhere better than the sixth seed in the playoffs? Because that loss, and I said last week that Thursday game was big. I put that out there. It was a monster. Mm-hmm. Detroit found a way to get it done and eliminate Green Bay from being a top four seed. Now you play Seattle next week. If you don't find a way to go out to the Pacific Northwest and win, now you're pretty much going to be locked into a 6 and maybe even a 7 seed because Washington is kind of right there too. But I firmly believe, I trust quarterbacks and coaches. That's what I do when it gets to be playoff time. Their coach is good. Our coach is good. Sam Darnold has had a renaissance. Is Minnesota really all in on Sam Darnold? Are they offering him contract extension? Do they really want him? Do they? Minnesota deserves credit, but there is no way anybody is going to put them, outside of Minnesota fans, as a bigger threat to win a Super Bowl than the Green Bay Packers. That's just how I feel, and I will be proven correct in January. Not, I am changing the date. I'm no apologies until the Minnesota Vikings are in the playoffs longer. If that happens, I will get on here on that Monday or Tuesday, if they play a Monday night game, and say, yeah, old T was wrong. But if I'm not, y'all better have your speeches and apologies ready for old T in January because, yes, they may have ended up having a better regular season than the G&G. I trust and believe that the Packers are a better football team when the money will be on the table. And I would bet, too, last thing here, that the Detroit Lions would much rather, in a playoff game, have Minnesota come to the Ford Field than the Green Bay Packers. I would bet money that that's the case.
Okay, but what? Was not available on the 64 Skylark, or whatever the car is that I referenced there in My Cousin Vinny. What are you arguing, though? Because the question was, you asked us if they're better today. And I guess I don't understand how you can argue that that the Packers are better than them today. You can argue. You can say you believe
our quarterback is light years better.
Who's playing better right now? Who's playing better? Is Jordan Love playing better than Sam Darnold?
I don't trust Sam Darnold. Period.
Okay, but you would agree that that's your bias, that he's, if his
no,
name was,
it's not my bias.
If his name was Sam Ficken,
bias.
And you didn't know anything about him, and he didn't suck in
not.
New York.
He's not,
right,
though,
but what I'm saying is that if you took his, if you did Hunter Vaughn's blind resume,
yep,
and you saw his numbers, and you didn't know his name, you'd be like, woo, boy, that guy's pretty good. Wouldn't you? Would you not?
I don't know what his numbers are. What are his numbers? Tell
well,
me
let me help you with that. Here, we'll do it this way. Blind resume. Is this Jordan Love, Sam Darnold, Caleb Williams, or Jared Goff?
Oh, okay? Wow.
The four quarterbacks in the NFC North. Okay? Are you ready?
Just wait. I want to make sure you let me know how many games started also when you put
these stats. No, I'm not giving you information.
I want the whole
picture. That would be cheating. That's because you know cheating. You're in trouble right now. That's why.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
I just want to have the whole.
Yes, you do.
He's already changing the rules on when he owes apologies.
I'm not changing
He's changing a lot of metrics.
My resume
here.
Is you give. Hey, Jesse, just so you know, because you're always gone when Hunter does this. The blind resume is all of the stats. No, you don't say this guy wears a green helmet or this.
No, stop. Stop, you filthy animal.
That's not it.
Starts are not included. Okay?
Okay, fine.
Hunter's right out here. Don't make me go get him.
All right. Here we go. He has completed 276 of 381 passes for 3,265 yards. He's thrown 25 touchdowns against 10 interceptions. His passer rating is 109.1.
Can you give me the completion percentage so I don't have to pull a calendar or a calculator up?
Sure. Please hold for one moment and I can get you that information. Because I know you don't want to have
because
a calculator
I think that's Jared Goff because his completion percentage is very high. And I'm pretty sure he has 25 touchdowns. So
the
I
completion percentage, that computes to 72.4%.
Which is really good. So, yeah, that's Goff. Okay.
It is indeed Jared Goff.
And Jared Goff has played better than Jordan Love this season. So tell me all this bias talk. Okay. Continue.
Okay. Next. I feel like I can't give you some pieces of information, though, because then it gives it away.
Really blind resume, then, yeah.
Well, okay.
Why don't you give me a deaf resume? Just don't say anything and see if I can guess it.
Darnold.
That's pretty good, Jesse. All right, this quarterback has completed 62.2% of his passes. He's thrown 16 touchdowns. His passer rating is 87.8.
How many interceptions?
I'm not telling you.
I think that's Jordan Love.
That's why I'm not telling you. Those numbers are Caleb Williams.
Okay. 62% completion. I thought Jordan was a little higher than that. Okay.
Okay. Next.
Love or Darnold. Oh, boy.
He has completed 62.8% of his passes. He has thrown 21 touchdowns. His passer rating is 96.4.
Okay, how many touchdowns? How many interceptions? Like, I need some story here.
I'm not giving you interceptions anymore.
Okay, so he's 62. I think Jordan Love has thrown about 62 or 63%. That's where he's been at.
So the reason why.
I don't know, so I'm going to say that's Jordan Love.
The reason why I'm not giving you interceptions is Jordan Love has thrown 11. And that would be a dead giveaway for you because you know that. As opposed to Caleb Williams, who has only thrown 5 interceptions against 16 touchdowns.
And he had negative 5 yards yesterday against San Francisco.
Yeah, it was ugly for them. All right, now finally, the Sam Darnold numbers, since by process of elimination, he is the only one left. By the way, Jared Goff, which I know this isn't the only measure of quarterback success, he is second in the league in passer rating at 109.1. Only Lamar Jackson has a higher passer rating. Sam Darnold is third. He has completed 68.4% of his passes, 28 touchdowns, 10 picks, a passer rating of 108.1.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm not going to sound graph this or whatever because I know you get paranoid. Y'all think old boy's a better quarterback than Jared Goff?
No, don't do that.
Jordan Love.
No.
No, but I'm asking.
He has played better to this point in the season. You can argue why, right? Like, we can sit here and say he's playing better than Jordan Love because he's been healthier or because Kevin O'Connell has done a better job of putting him in position to be successful or because Jordan Addison and Justin freaking Jefferson are better than the wide receiving core that the Green Bay Packers have that we touted a lot, and now the best guy in the group that we thought was the clear-cut number one has disappeared, and we don't know why. So there are reasons behind the numbers, but my only point is that this is not a who would you rather start a franchise with, who do you think is more talented. It's none of that.
Right,
it's within the confines of his offense with the team he has and the coach he has, who's playing better.
And Jason,
for you to argue that Sam Darnold's not playing better is just you don't like Sam Darnold because Sam Darnold's name is Sam Darnold, and he's not that good.
I don't trust Sam Darnold, and you could ask the question, do you trust Jordan Love? And that's a fair question. But you just brought this up, and if you want, because we're going to stay on the clock today since Christmas music has started, why? The question we have to ask is, why is Sam Darnold playing better than Jordan Love? Why are his stats better?
So you would acknowledge he's playing better by asking that question.
His stats are better. Yeah, his stats are better. I don't trust Sam Darnold in a big game, and you can if you want. I still think Green Bay is a better team, and it's not a bias of mine. The facts would tell you that I'm being an idiot. Fine. Idiotize me. That's great. What I'm saying is, why is this season gone? What is Minnesota? And the question I have is this the referendum that I asked all offseason, and people were crushing, why do you guys keep talking about wideouts?
Yeah.
Is this the J.R. Ewing versus Friends right in our face? And J.R. Ewing is whooping up on the Friends ensemble. Is that what this is?
Maybe. Now, in fairness, Justin Jefferson.
Packer fans feel the same way because the numbers are what they are. They don't always tell the whole story. But Jesse has said it, and I can't argue. We are two games back with the potential of a tiebreaker going against us again in this division. If we lose to Minnesota up there, we'll be 2-4 in the division without a win against either of the two good teams in the division. And why is that?
Justin Jefferson had gone like a month without a touchdown catch. That was made very clear throughout the broadcast yesterday. I would say that the major factors in Sam Darnold having played better. He and his quarterback, or he, because he's the quarterback, and his coach seem to have hit an incredible rhythm that I think Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur were struggling to find with the amount of time he missed with the injuries, etc.
You're not saying O'Connell, because I know you're not saying O'Connell's a better coach, but has he found a better... How much of this is Jordan Love injury? Not having a stud wideout? What is it? I would say injury to Jordan and some of the setbacks, but I guess we have to come. I am just not there. And until I'm proven wrong, I'm not going to get there.
So I guess a couple things. First of all, everything, it's never one reason, right? Like, of course, in the world of sports talk radio and sports commentary, we always want it to be one thing, okay?
Sometimes,
and look,
it is.
I'm not, as much as I love Matt LaFleur and his eyebrows and him giving me grief in press conferences and everything else, I cannot say beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is a better coach than Kevin O'Connell. I can't, and I'm not going to. I think he is, but I want to see Kevin O'Connell with a few more years of coaching. Because his first year, he did what LaFleur did, right? Took his team to the playoffs. We were like, oh my God, this is just like everyone was surprised by the 19 team in Green Bay. Kevin O'Connell did the same thing. They're from the same McVay, Shanahan-y tree. But this is 2 years out of three that they've been pretty damn good, whether we expected them to be or not. Also, as someone who really likes Jeff Hafley and thinks that based on how he treated Tua and other reports out of Miami, that Brian Flores does not seem like a Jason Wilde kind of guy, their defense is pretty good, and the system works for them. Right? I mean, again, all defenses have struggles in the NFL. It is an offensive tilted league. But again, we'll see what happens on December 29th. But I just think that if we're looking at all the different factors, at this point, we have under, and I include myself in this, we have underestimated the Vikings. I don't think you owe them an apology. I think there's a distinct possibility you will be proven right in the postseason. At the same time, they are better than they have gotten credit for on this show. And I'm not a, I'm certainly not wanting to sound like, it is good! No, we missed it. I don't want to be Paul Allen. But they are better than they have gotten credit for. And Sam Darnold is better than he gets credit for. If you again, I don't know how much you've watched him, but watching him yesterday, he was like, I was working on our Christmas card watching the game. He's pretty good, man. Like, again, I understand the stigma of having his name after how things went for him in New York, and then he bounced around to San Francisco for a year and Carolina for a year. But if you didn't know him and he was some guy like Kurt Warner who came off the bench after stocking shelves at the grocery store, you'd be like, oh my God, what a great story this guy is. But we assume he stinks, and maybe anybody who goes to New York stinks. Maybe it's New York that's the problem and not Sam Darnold.
Carolina too.
Right. So I'm not saying that they are going to go farther in the playoffs. I'm saying today, December 29th, 2024, the year of our Lord, the day that Jesse started playing Christmas music, I just think that they're better than the Packers. And the Packers will have a chance to prove that wrong in a couple of weeks. And oh, by the way, they have the Seahawks on Sunday night in Seattle. And that, I understand they're a 3-point favorite, but that ain't no gimme. And I don't think Seattle's that good either. But things are not easy for them moving forward. And you talk about emptying the bucket. I'm pretty sure they emptied the bucket in an effort to beat Detroit.
They
so
did.
How will they?
No doubt.
They get a couple of extra days, but how will they be in another game that's just as important now? That's what I find myself wondering.
It's not, in fairness, it's not as important.
It really? If you lose this game?
No.
What does it mean if you lose this game? You know what it means? It is important because they are in danger. You lose this one and you lose to Minnesota, there's a chance you're the seventh seed and you got to go to Philly if Detroit holds on to the number one seed. And I got to be honest, if I'm a Packers fan, I don't want them going to Philly in the first round. I don't.
Yeah, all that infighting. I agree. I don't either. I'm not going to argue that. But Philly ain't exactly rock stock either.
Who is?
Seems like Detroit. Seems like it's Detroit.
But you're
and
confident.
Minnesota. I don't hear a lot of bickering up in Minnesota either.
I don't either.
But on
I don't
Friday,
hear a lot
you
of bickering
said,
in Green Bay.
You said if we go to Detroit, you're confident that the Packers would beat them a third time around. So there's really no
I
team
do.
You're afraid of in the NFC.
Yeah, I'm not the one playing. I'm not afraid of them. I don't. I think we're a good
Flick
football
em.
Team. Yeah.
Bring them or fling them or whatever.
Fling them all.
I don't want to have to go through Philly and Detroit. But this whole concept of do we want to be a 5 or a 6? No doubt about it. Have you watched Washington too? So I think Green Bay is going to be a 5 or a 6. I don't think they're going to be a 7.
Okay.
And if they are a 7, yeah, that would be more concerning. But they're not losing to the Bears. If they have to beat the Bears, they're going to beat the Bears. They're not losing to New Orleans. I can almost assure you
that. I agree
with
both those statements.
They don't even have Derek Carr.
Uh-huh. I agree. Uh-huh.
So you're looking at
11
and 6 at the worst.
Uh-huh.
11 wins going to get you a 6 seed at the worst. That's how I look at it. Washington's still a full game behind Green Bay, right? They're 8-5
as of now,
or whatever it is.
If the playoffs began today, your top 7 seeds – Detroit at 12-1, Philadelphia 11-2. Seattle wins the West, they're the third seed at 8-5. Tampa Bay is the 4 seed as the South champion at 7-6.
Yeah, Saban would be upset about that teams that get a first round bye are not the best records.
Minnesota would be the 5 seed at 11-2, and they would play at Tampa Bay. Green Bay would be the 6th seed. They would go to Seattle. They are 9-4 right now. And Washington is one game in arrears of the Packers at 8-5. However, they hold a better conference record.
Yep.
as we speak than the Packers do. Now the Packers have four conference games remaining, so they will have every opportunity to go 8-4 in the conference and finish 13-4.
I'd like to see them leave that 17th week, kind of like NCAA basketball does bracket busters. I'd like to see them do
that.
Can
we delve into this new idea next instead?
Yeah. Well, no, we don't. This is an idea for the off season because it's not. But yes, getting out of this, not being the seventh seed, would be something I would very much push as a coach to not have us get into that equation.
The NCAA also hasn't done Bracket Busters weekend in like 20 years.
Yeah, but it was fun.
It was.
20 years, you think?
It's been a long time. Since I was in high school, which was almost 20 years
ago. Fact check that. That has not been 20 years. No way.
I'll check.
All right, I'll check on that. I'll also, we'll get to more of this discussion coming up. Want to remind you, Associated Bank, much like we have the best customer service for all the people that love to listen to our show and, you know, not have swaths of commercials because we go over. We have great customer service, but nothing as it compares to Associated Bank. AssociatedBank.com tells you everything you need to know about all the great different accounts you can get, all their customer service accolades, their Packers checking, their Badgers checking, their Brewers checking. But the bottom line is go in to one of their friendly branches and find out the Associated Bank difference. I can tell you from firsthand experience, you will experience it like I did. Check out AssociatedBank.com to find out more. You got this. More of our debate about the Vikings and Wilde and Tausch trivia still ahead. Stick around.
We're brewing up something special at ESPN Madison. Join Wilde and Tausch for a special announcement Tuesday on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
The last time ESPN did the Bracket Busters, so not 20 years ago when Jesse was in high school.
Not quite 20.
And 12, closer to me being in high school than not.
Seems like 11. It's 2024, though, right?
Well, it's really 25. I mean, we're there.
Not there yet.
20 days.
2024 going on 2025.
We just had Thanksgiving, if you haven't heard, very late. So, Tausch, as you look at the playoff picture, you know, you like to play your pick'em.
Quick second.
Please, go right
get
ahead.
Into this. So, the Sam Darnold blind resume, 28 touchdowns, Jordan Love's missed three games, in essence.
Two and a half.
I just looked this up because I was, you have me a little bit like, whoa, Minnesota's offense is high-flying. They're 13th. In the league, bruh, which is good.
In scoring or yardage? Points.
Yardage. But points, they're less than Green Bay. I think Green Bay is 26-8 and they're 26-1, if my last reference point was correct. So Minnesota's offense has been good. But I was starting to get the vibe from you that it was, oh, my God, yeah, this offense is so much better than Green Bay. It's not. Sam Darnold's numbers are better, but he's played three more games. And they pass more than we do. We have a stud running back. They have Aaron Jones, who's fumbling a little bit and doing some things. What are you tell me what you're thinking. What?
No, I'm just listening with a critical ear.
You have like a nugget that you're going to try to like throw a shrapnel at me, and so go ahead and do it.
No, I'm not looking to do that. But if you look at situational football, which we hear about all the time, they are similar teams, but in a few key categories, which is perhaps why Jordan Love also doesn't have as big a numbers, because the Packers have done a lesser job of sustaining drives, for example. The Minnesota Vikings are 10th in the league in third down conversions. The Packers are 19th.
The Vikings are only slightly better in the red zone, 11th in the NFL, as opposed to the Packers being 12th. 13th in goal to go, Packers are 20th. So there are some shortcomings in the Packers' offense. And look, Sam Darnold's numbers are now skewed by a 5-touchdown game yesterday. He only had 23 touchdown passes going in. I'm not arguing that this guy is the second coming of Tom Brady. I'm just saying he's better than we've given him credit for. And if you told me you have to pick which one you want to be your quarterback, I'm picking Jordan Love. So it's not like we are disagreeing in some massive way. All I'm saying is these guys aren't as bad as we make them sound on our show. And by the way, the Packers have found their way in terms of the red zone in the last couple of weeks because they were really bad at one point. They were 29th in the league, and now they're 12th. So they have rebounded in a huge way. They've moved up 17 spots in that category. And some of it is Jordan Love being back. But I think Jordan Love, how many touchdown passes does he have in the games he's played in the last several weeks? He had two back-to-back games that he did play in that he didn't even throw a touchdown pass. So I'm just saying that he is, we are seeing him look like himself. We've talked about that a lot. The throw he makes to Christian Watson looks to me like a throw that very few quarterbacks can make, where he flips his hips and jump cuts and throws the ball on a dime. I'm not saying that he's not better than Sam Darnold long term, but as of today, who is playing better football? You have to say Sam Darnold. And I can't. The one thing I don't want to allow us to make excuses for are the bad decisions and blaming that on his injuries. Because not even, I'm here to tell you, not even Jordan Love is blaming his injuries on that. He will be honest about his mobility, his accuracy, all those other things. But some of those interceptions of those 11 were bad decisions that he will admit had nothing to do with his legs. Nothing.
Okay.
Fair?
Yeah. I'm trying to just, I want to make sure I'm getting all of the information. Because, yes, and as 414 on the text line, I don't like Darnold. I don't dislike him. I don't think he's a, I just don't think he is a great quarterback. That's me being a homer. I think Jordan Love still has a way to go. And I believe I was pretty critical of all of the poor decisions he was making earlier in the season. So I just kind of say what I see, and I believe what I believe. And I can be proven wrong. I can be proven right. I've been proven right a lot. As we look at last year.
You have been.
This season, when it comes to Jordan Love, I think he's playing his best ball. I think Detroit is a really good team, and we always overreact and kind of say, well, Sam Darnold had 5 touchdowns yesterday. And oh, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, Minnesota's better than I thought. Sam Darnold has been better than I thought. But Minnesota's not going to be giving him $55 million a year. I feel very confident about that. I don't think anybody else is either. Now, he might get a Baker Mayfield. Somebody might take a flyer on him. And is he going to be as good when he's got O'Connell? When he doesn't have O'Connell? Or Justin Jefferson or Addison? Me thinks not. That's me thinks. Doesn't mean me's right, but that's what me thinks. So all of the other stuff, I do not believe Minnesota is a Super Bowl contender with Sam Darnold as quarterback. Period. Fin. And you know what? In 2 months, I could be completely proven wrong. And if that is the case, I will send Jesse up in a Minnesota Viking costume to walk in the parade up in Minneapolis. That's what I am willing to put on the line if Minnesota wins a championship.
Thank you for your service.
And you'll sit back and eat some Quick Trip fried chicken and
crow.
Probably potatoes. Heard potatoes are for sale.
Yeah, the sign's still up at our local Quick Trip by our house, so they must still be 99 cents. So here's my last question on this, then we'll play trivia and we'll move forward. So if we go up to Minnesota on December 29th, which is, I'm planning on going to that game because I think it's kind of a big one, and Sam Darnold outplays, even by a small margin, Jordan Love, and the Minnesota Vikings beat the Packers, will that sufficiently change your position to where you're willing to say Sam Darnold has played the position better than my guy has this season?
No.
For this season.
Yes. That's all I'm looking for.
For this season.
Okay.
And Craig brings up a great point on our talk and text line. That I argue it's important to sit and to learn. Yes. I do believe in. If I want to, I'm going to be dead honest with y'all. Sam Darnold came in as a high, you know, number three pick, mm-hmm. all this other stuff. He got battered around. He unfortunately fell into that camp that I tell you guys about where if you don't have the right fit and you're not an uber talent, it is really tough to overcome. I never felt this way about Baker Mayfield. I always kind of thought the Browns, they got too, oh, we got to make a big move. And they're regretting it because of what they did. Sam Darnold, when I heard him say he was chasing ghosts, that's when I wrote him off. That's where my bias comes. You can't play quarterback in this league seeing ghosts. And I don't know, sometimes Bill Murray comes to town. Maybe Bill Murray's been up to Minneapolis along with Dan Aykroyd, and they busted the ghosts, and here we go. I just know football players, it is really tough. Old boy down in Houston, he never got rid. He didn't get Bill Murray and Aykroyd to come down. And most quarterbacks that see ghosts don't get the Ghostbusters to come into town. Maybe Sam Darnold has. Maybe Minnesota's going to say, man, we got our guy. But I would bet dollars to donuts that that is not what's going to end up happening.
Why do you leave Harold Ramis out of the mix? He's one of the OGs.
I didn't know who that was. Yeah, but I didn't know who that was.
Ernie Hudson, he gets added to the team a little bit later in the film. We raise a Coors Light both to Sam Darnold.
How many people actually know, outside of the song, I don't know if I could tell you two scenes from Ghostbusters, but I know the song.
He slimed me? Come on. You know he slimed me.
No, I don't. I am a fan of the music. I am not a big fan of the movie. I couldn't tell you, like, if the Academy put that in the mix, which for the Viking game now, if we probably should, but we're not
dogs
going to
and cats
most of the stuff is
living together, mass hysteria.
I do not know that movie, but I know that is probably one of the great soundtracks as far as that a theme song for a movie.
At least one song
that most
yeah.
people remember.
Yeah. I don't know about the rest. I'll have to check what other songs are even on the soundtrack. Who are you going to call? Coors Light, if you're Mark Tauscher.
Coors Light brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged, so it's made to chill. Born in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado in 1978, Coors Light is refreshing. It is crisp and is only 102 calories. That's why it is always Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Sub responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
All right, let's play some trivia because I want to get to, since we're talking about Matt LaFleur and Kevin O'Connell, I want to circle back to something that we kind of talked about on Friday, and that is, did Matt LaFleur get a little emotional in that Lions game? And is that something that he needs to guard against? I actually would like to talk to him. I don't want to ask him those questions in a press conference. I don't think they'll go great. I would kind of like to talk to him about it privately if I can make that happen this week, because I am a little bit curious. We'll get to that at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. But first, we need to play trivia. Jesse, who did today's trivia? Is it the Sports Weekend Recap? And what caller would you like?
I did it. It is the Sports Weekend Recap. And I think you should take LaFleur out for coffee to ask him those questions. A nice little coffee.
Maybe
shop.
For a meal. Yeah. Maybe a meal.
Yeah.
Take a beat.
Sam Darnold's one of the
maybe
answers.
Lois can join us.
Sports Weekend Recap. I don't want to pick the caller. I like
caller
when you
10.
Pick the caller. Sure.
Caller 10. Although maybe we should do Sam Darnold's number instead of Jordan Love's. Caller 10, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776, caller 10.
What number is he?
14.
Okay.
I guess I know what to get you for Christmas. Caller 10, plays trivia
Sam
next.
It's
Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Let's play some trivia. Let's welcome our contestant. It is Chef Ed. Ed! Good morning. How are you?
Morning. How are you guys doing? It's been a while. Yeah, I still listen every day, but I've been busy leaving the house, going to work. Yeah, but it's great to finally contact you guys. I mean, I've been a listener from day one. I mean, I still on my wall probably have the picture of Camp Randall sold out, signed by Tausch. I mean, because I won that on Fan Appreciation Week, your very first season. I've been listening all the way through. I used to be able to get on all the time, but then I had that stroke. But now I've totally recovered from that. I just have a little bit of a numbness in my right hand. So, yeah, it's great. So I think I deserve – I don't want to force you guys, but I think I should deserve to be in the Wildy and Tausch Hall of Fame. But that's here to come for you guys.
Jason. I like that. I like that you're campaigning. Got a campaign. Well,
And I like that you're leaving the house to go to work. I don't know what that's like, but that's great. I'm glad to hear that you do it because that's a good thing. All right, let's play some trivia.
All right.
The category is the sports weekend recap. I suppose I should ask, am I asking all these questions or do you have the requisite information today?
No, it's
not always a given, I think.
Well, because sometimes I don't get the show sheet, but when I do, I am ready, and I am ready today. Chef at Kentucky and Gonzaga men's basketball played a showcase game on the West Coast late Saturday night on ESPN2. What was the game called? Was it Battle in Seattle, Tussle in Tucson, or the Brouhaha in British Columbia?
See, I didn't get to see any of that game because Saturday was nuts for me because we had the Badger Marquette game at the Forum and we were just like blasted all day.
Might be better suited for question two then.
Yeah, I don't think I don't even know what happened in that game.
Well, could you say the options again, please?
Oh, Chef Ed, sure I can do that for you, buddy. Battle in Seattle, Tussle in Tucson, Brouhaha in British Columbia.
I'll just say the Battle in Seattle.
You'd be right.
All right, one for one. Question two, which I don't know how much of the game you were able to watch since you were slinging burgers and pretzels and everything else, but here we go. Which player was the game's leading scorer with 32 points as Marquette defeated Wisconsin in the annual in-state rivalry game at Fiserv Forum on Saturday? Was the leading scorer Cam Jones, Stevie Mitchell, or John Tonjay?
Well, I know Cam Jones is the biggest scorer, but I don't think Jesse's going to have two of them at number one. So I'm going to say Stevie Mitchell.
Always Jesse dangerous to overthink it.
Jesse gotcha.
You got my old Jesse Jelly.
Old Jelly gotcha.
Cam Jones was the leading scorer with 32 points.
I should have. I didn't think he was going to have two of them at number one.
Yeah. You overthought it.
Classic
Jesse. You and Quay Walker.
I'm just playing chess over here.
No, you're not.
All right, Chef.
Question
Ed,
three.
Which NFL team scored the least amount of points on Sunday? Is it the Giants, the Jaguars, or the Titans?
Okay, no, I'm going to have to go with the Titans.
Yes, sir.
Ed, a semi-triumphant return to trivia. 2 out of 3. That gives you 3 out of the possible 4 entries into Friday's drawing. Welcome back, buddy. And good luck in the drawing. Thanks.
I want to say, too, that I think the Packers are going to win against Seattle because I was close on the San Fran game. I was close on the Detroit game. So Chef Nostradamus says the Packers are going to win 37-20 against Seattle this Sunday.
A lot of points.
Nostra Chefus, let me ask you this quickly. You said you were close on the San Francisco game and close on the Detroit game. Did you get them right or did you get them wrong?
Detroit. I had the Packers winning a shootout against Detroit, 33-30.
Okay, so that would be wrong.
And I had the Packers beating San Francisco, 38-17.
Okay, so you got one right, one wrong.
Pretty good.
And this will be the rubber match. See if you get the Seattle game right. All right, we'll check back in with you, Ed. Thanks.
Hey, I'll give a what it's been.
I hope. 2 out of 3. Do you still win money if you play Prize Picks and you get 2 out of 3?
There's flex play, which I think you need to usually get 3 out of 4.
Okay.
You'll get a little something back if you flex, but then I like the power play. But that's the beauty of Prize Picks. It's the best place to get real money sports action. With over 10 million members and billions of dollars in awarded winnings, Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all, and it is simple. More or less on at least 2 players for a shot to win up to 100 times your cash. And now it's Mary Prick. What is it? This is where I always screw this up. Mary Prickmas. I tried. That's why I like going to Jesse, because I screwed this up. Mary Prickmas, everybody.
Just ask me from now on.
Well, I try, and then you scold me. Now. What do you need me? And then half the time you're not even there.
It all makes
sense. Merry Pixmas, everybody. All kinds of different specials going on throughout the holiday season. And when your picks hit, you get your money back in as quick as 15 minutes. Sam Darnold, go more on touchdowns. You're probably in pretty good shape yesterday. Download the app today. Use code WI to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's code WI to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Merry Pixmas, everybody, and Prize Picks, run
your
game.
Sam Darnold might say that you've been kind of a Merry Pixmas to him.
Ho, ho, ho.
Fair.
The 10 o'clock hour starts after we recover in 2 minutes. Merry top of the 10 o'clock hour, Miss.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.